Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Racing Post Football Postcast. I'm Ian Wilkerson, I'm in the chair today, and joining me are my Racing Post colleagues, Dan Charles and Mark Langdon, and we have a debutant from our sponsors, Paddy Power, Malachy Rooney. Hello, Malachy, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Well, we ought to hear a bit about you to see what sort of expert you are when it comes to football. So, perhaps how long you've been working at Paddy Power?
I've been here just over 3 years.
Yeah, and what do you do there?
I'm a football risk lead.
Ooh, football risk lead. That sounds really
no relation to Wayne, is he?
No.
So, who's your favourite team then? Malachy.
You know, so I'm actually an AC Milan fan.
Now, what were the prices on that Lango?
I didn't fancy that.
So how did you fall in love with a Rossoneri?
It would have been years ago, back when they would have been on domestic television.
Yeah, so who's your favourite player of all time?
Kaká.
Kaká?
What a player, yeah.
Yeah, so, and favourite holiday destination?
Mallorca, I'd say.
And who's going to win the World Cup?
Belgium for me.
Belgium,
yeah.
The perennial dark horses probably finished at Germany a long way at some point. But yeah, I mean, that could be the value, I suppose, outside the main contenders. So plenty of football, as always. Plenty of Premier League action as we get to the business end of the season. So we've got two live games on Saturday. The first one is Liverpool against Stoke. So can we have some prices, please, Malachy?
Yeah, so Liverpool are 1-4 at home. The draw is 9-2. And Stoke are outsiders at 9-1.
Well, being as you're our visitor and a debutant, you ought to have the honour. And what do you like in this game?
It's hard to look past Liverpool, really. I mean, Stoke have the worst defence in the league. It's just the fact that the game is sandwiched in between the two Champions League ties for Liverpool. And even though they should have had the game done and dusted, Roma have shown they could come back. So
yeah.
I'd be wary to be a big Liverpool backer at the price. I think it's unlikely they'll be caught in the league as well, so I'm going to go under 2.5 at 13-8. I think Stoke might try and keep it tight and nick a goal at the end.
Yeah, they could hang on for a little bit. Well, Mark, Liverpool surrendered a 2-goal lead at West Brom in the run-up to this game, their first game against Roma. You know, how much is that big second leg going to play on their minds, do you think, for this game?
I would have thought the second leg's virtually everything to them. I mean, you saw the Merseyside derby as well, fell in between the other Champions League games, didn't it? And it was a nothing performance, really, in that 0-0 draw. Be surprised if we saw all of Liverpool's big hitters playing. And if a team like Liverpool drops the intensity, then they become probably more vulnerable defensively, as we saw against Roma. But I kind of agreed there with Malachy's sort of assessment in it maybe being a low-scoring game. I mean, Stoke have only won one game since Christmas, so I was looking at them, could they nick it? But it's very difficult to see how they do that. And I was looking at 0-0 half-time, which is 11-4, and it's copped in 7 of Stoke's 12 matches under Paul Lambert. And if you wanted to go maybe and play it safe, you could you could couple the 1-0 Liverpool at 23-10 and sort of have both of those on side. I'm not expecting Liverpool to smash Stoke out of sight. Of course, Stoke desperate for the points.
Dan, Mark's highlighted Stoke's current form. Do you give him any sort of chance at Anfield?
I don't know. And I've got a little bit of a different angle here. I know that they're going to rest some players because of the big game coming up. But he's got to be a little bit careful with the league. I mean, if they did lose to Stoke, and it's unlikely, but if they did take it too easily, they're going to need something potentially at Chelsea. They've still got to go to Chelsea. Mm. And Chelsea have got a game in hand. If they were to lose to Stoke, Chelsea win the game in hand and the game this weekend at Swansea, there could be 2 points between them when they go to Chelsea.
There's still quite a bit of football to be played.
Yeah, they've got to be just a little bit. And if you look at his reaction at the end of the West Brom game, he was furious at the drop points because it kind of took a little bit of the leeway away from him. He knows that there's one potentially bad result away from being, actually in danger of missing out on the top four. So I think that, he'll make a few changes, but at the very least, I think he'll load the bench up. And I just think Stoke are such a poor side. I mean, I actually backed them last week at Burnley. I think if there's ever a game and the circumstances for them to go and win a game, Burnley playing Thursday night against Chelsea, using the same players and then, yeah. and then the same, playing the same 11 again, surely Stoke, if they're going to stay up, are going to win that game. And actually, Burnley got stronger as the game went on and probably, if anything, should have won the game. So I've got a real downer on Stoke. Worst defence in the league, so little goal threat. Shaqiri, the top scorer, with 7 league goals this season. One away win all season. Worst away record in the league as well. There's so many negatives with Stoke. So I'm going to go for a comfortable Liverpool win. 3-0 Liverpool, 15-2.
15-2, yeah. I like... although we don't know who Liverpool are going to be fielding, and that we do anticipate there'll be plenty of team changes with the big game in Rome coming up next week. I think Mo Salah's brilliant form as provides a few little opportunities perhaps in the goal scorer markets, because perhaps there's value elsewhere because he's been so good. So I'll be taking a chance on Sadio Mane to score at any time at 17-10. He scored in 5 of his last 6 home matches. So I quite like that one. And then the next Saturday live action tea time, we're off to Wales. It's the Sea Derby, Swansea against Chelsea. So what are the prices for this, Malachy?
Swansea are 6-1 to win. Their draw is 3-1, and Chelsea are 2s on.
Mark, they've Chelsea put together a few decent results, have they? Have they turned the corner?
They have. I mean, obviously, 5 points behind Chelsea. I mean, whether behind Tottenham, whether they're chasing Tottenham or Liverpool, because they've got the opportunity to sort of, as Dan alluded to earlier on, to beat Liverpool and sort of really make a dent in that. You know, they probably are still chasing 2 teams in that race. They're probably going to need to win every game, I think, to get close. Have they turned the corner? Not sure. I mean, that first half against Southampton was so bad in the Premier League that I can't sort of completely forgive them. But they've responded reasonably well against Burnley and then, of course, the FA Cup semi-final. Swansea, unbeaten in 5 at home. And I'm expecting Carvajal to do exactly what he did in the sort of games against the other big teams, pack the defence and desperately try to scrap out a point. I think he may be able to do that for 45 minutes. Eventually, though, Chelsea, the options they've got on off the bench, whether it's Morata or Giroud, Willian or Pedro, Hazard came on against Burnley. You know, they've got Conte's got the ability to change off the bench, and that's where I'm going for the draw half-time, Chelsea full-time double result.
Malachy, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I'd be of a similar opinion. I mean, Swansea are obviously, they're not in desperate need of a win, depending on other results, but it's going to be hard to sit back at home and try and get a draw. I do think eventually Chelsea will wear them down. I've gone myself for Chelsea -1 at 7-5. I think if they score once with at least 15 minutes to go, they'll get a second. And I think Swansea would struggle against them in the last half hour of the game.
So, you both see a bit of a struggle for the home team then. Dan, how do you view this
one? Yeah, I'm quite strongly with Chelsea. I think they've been gradually getting better. I mean, they had that shocking, as Mark's mentioned, the poor performance initially in the league game at Southampton, played well against Burnley. And then the cup semi-final really was pretty comfortable for them. So and it's a big boost getting to a cup final as well. Tends to lift the whole club.
And they also played well against West Ham, didn't they? When Joe Hart made...
They were a bit unlucky
shot
in that game,
yeah,
weren't they?
So there is a trend of them starting to gear up for a push for this fourth spot. I mean, they're going to need some help, obviously, Liverpool or Spurs dropping some points. But you know, all they can do is try and do their job. And I think they'll be quite focused early on here. And Swansea, you wonder about the mental damage as well. I know playing away to Man City is always a ridiculously tough game. But any 5-0 defeat, you know, could undermine a team. They're no winning 6 now, Swansea, so they've been on a bit of a poor run. I think they have got, in terms of survival, got some good games still left. Got to go to Bournemouth at home to Southampton and Stoke. They've got some big opportunities still for points further down the line. But this one, I don't think they're going into it with great confidence. I think Chelsea will be at it from the start, and I fancy Chelsea half time, full time, 13-10.
Yeah, that game between Swansea and Southampton has got massive. Could have massive relegation connotations, couldn't it? I'm with the boys, really. I think Chelsea are going well, and then I've been particularly impressed with the way that Giroud's been playing in the last few weeks. I think that he could offer some value either if you go on the first goal score at 7-2 or at any time at 7-5. So we've got 5 other games, 5 3 o'clock. So if we just rattle through those alphabetically, Malachy, if you could just give us the prices for Burnley, Brighton, and then just a quick one-liner on what you think might happen.
Yeah, so Burnley are 11-10 at home. The draw is 2-1, and Brighton are 12-5. And I've sided with Burnley here for the win. I think they've been the fairy tale of the season, and Brighton with nothing to play for, it's a bit of a dead rubber for them.
Dan, what do you think? Do you agree, Burnley?
No, I don't. I'm going to go with Brighton, draw no bet at 6-4. I think Brighton still might need a, you know, they'll look at it and think we may still need another, you know, point or two. And I just think that they've got the personnel to deal with Burnley, with Duffy and Dunk, you know, two of the better centre backs in the league. Good partnership. I think they can deal with that onslaught, and they might nick the game. So Brighton 6-4 for me.
So you like the Seagulls?
Draw no bet.
What are you betting?
Oh, I'm going to go for Ashley Barnes to score first. I mean, he scored in six of his last eight appearances. Been one of the revelations of the second half.
Do you remember how people were laughing in January when he was linked to a move to Chelsea?
Yeah, I mean, he's
been brilliant, hasn't he?
I mean, the Austrian under-21 international has been fantastic. Get him on the plane.
Get him on the plane. So, yeah, you'll be going for him for the first goal then. What price was the...
He's around about 6-1, I think.
Around about 6-1. I like Burnley as well. I think the home win at 11-10 represents a bit of value. Sellers Park, Crystal Palace against Leicester, Malachy.
Yeah, so Crystal Palace are even money. The draw is 12-5, and Leicester are 13-5 for this one.
Do you like the evens about Palace?
I do. Not to side with the home team in every game, but I do. Yeah. I think Leicester have nothing to play for again. I think Palace win and both teams to score offers a smidge of value at 11-4.
Okay, Mark, what do you think?
I'm going to sort of take the Palace win out of Malachy's argument there and just go for both teams to score. Obviously, a shorter price, but it has copped in 22 of Leicester's 34 matches this season in the Premier League, which is a divisional high. And Crystal Palace have only kept two clean sheets at home now. I know they were involved in that Boar draw with Watford last week, but I mean, that's been rarity, really, in terms of their games have been pretty high scoring of late, so I'll go for both teams to score.
Dan, you were at that Boar draw at Vicarage Road.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I'll be honest, they weren't particularly special, Palace, in that game. Zaha was, you know, as everybody knows, is their main threat. Apart from him, there was very little from them, really, and... I don't know. I think they're getting on the short side here. There's a lot factored into Leicester having not a lot to play for, I think, in those prices. They are a dangerous away side if they are up for it, Leicester. And I look at it as well, looking at the table, Palace are 6 points above Southampton. They get a point, it just makes Southampton to need three results instead of two. So I think a point's not a bad result for them. For that reason, 12-5, the draw looks big to me.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. I think there's not a lot to separate the two teams. They've both got potential match winners. The players that catch the eye are obviously Zaha for Palace and Jamie Vardy for Leicester. I think 12-5 is it's the biggest side... on the big side of a draw price, so I'm quite willing to take that. Relegation threatened Huddersfield at home to Everton. What are the prices there, Malachy?
So this is close enough one. Huddersfield are 8-5. The draw is 2-1, and Everton are 15-8.
Do you think it's going to be close?
I actually do, yeah. I know Everton, again, there's a lot of dead rubbers for certain teams have nothing to play for, but Sam Allardyce himself is under a bit of pressure, so... I mean, he's certainly not going to be telling the lads it's grand, we're safe, don't worry about it. He's going to want to win this game. Huddersfield obviously are not directly in a relegation battle because they are 6 points off bottom and they've only played 34, but they still will be concerned about other results. So I've gone for both teams to score here at 8-11. I think they're both going to go for it.
Yeah, both teams to score. Mark, Huddersfield, they've got an absolutely awful looking run in, so they'd be desperate for...
They'll be looking for something from this game. I think they'll get something. I'm going for the draw in this game. I mean, you have a look at Huddersfield. In the matches against teams from outside the top six, they've drawn five of their 12 home games this season. So, they are a team, I think, that are quite difficult to play against, but don't score that many goals. When they beat Watford 1-0 in that absolutely huge game for them, they scored in the last minute with their only shot on target. So I've got my... sort of reservations about their ability to win games, and I've also got the same about Everton, who just look like they're playing out the season to me.
Okay, and so Dan, yeah, Huddersfield, after this one, they've got Manchester City, Chelsea and Arsenal.
They have.
Need to get something here, don't they?
I think that puts a lot of pressure on them on this game, and Everton, there's a little bit of a revival going on there recently. One defeat in six, that was against Manchester City as well, so that, you know, they are... they're picking a few results. And they're up to eighth in the league, which and I know the points tally is still relatively low for a club of their size, but no, they're improving a little bit. And as has been mentioned, Allardyce needs a strong finish, I think, to stay in that job for next season. So, you know, the players look like they're buying into it a little bit. Schneiderlin's playing a lot better now. I mean, earlier in the season, he was getting a load of stick from the supporters, got a standing ovation when he had to go off against Newcastle in the 1-0 win there. So they're picking up a bit. I think they might just nick this 15-8 Everton, I would take.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like Dan says, Everton lost one of their last six, and that was against Manchester City. There's a lot of pressure on Huddersfield. I think this is a game that the Toffees can sneak. So, yeah, I'll be backing them at 15-8 as well. Two more to go quickly. Newcastle at home to West Brom. What are the prices, Malachy?
So Newcastle are odds on here at 8-11. The draw is 5-2, and West Brom are 7-2.
There's been a little bit of a sign of life from West Brom in their last couple of games. We're not suggesting that they're going to be able to drag themselves out of trouble, but are they capable of getting a positive result at Newcastle this week?
I don't think so. No, I'm not a massive Newcastle fan by any means, but I think West Brom are finished, to be honest. I think they're going to go down this weekend. They need to win the game, if I'm not mistaken, in order to stay up or have any hope of staying up. I think Newcastle are going to finish them off. If it's a draw going into the last stages of the game, they'll have to go for it, and I think Newcastle are going to beat them.
So you like the 8-11, yeah?
I'd prefer it to be a little bit bigger, to be honest, but if I go into my head, I'd rather back Newcastle.
Yeah, you're leaning that way, Mark.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same. Looks pretty much a no better to me, but if I did, it would be for Newcastle. I'm beating 7 at St James's, 4 straight wins. That includes Man United and Arsenal. And I just wonder with West Brom, because, you know, they've had these two sort of high-profile games, haven't they, against Manchester United and against Arsenal, which I think are easier to raise your game for, if you know what I mean. Like under, you know, when you've got nothing to play for, I think it's sometimes easier to raise your game for that type of fixture compared to this one. Newcastle, like I said, before the Everton game, have been going along great guns. A little bit concerned about their lack of firepower. But, you know, West Brom, if they are to stay up, need to win this. I mean, they're not going to stay up, but they need to win. And I think that that will sort of force their hand at some stage. And maybe Newcastle can even hit them on the counter-attack.
Dan, two very positive predictions for Newcastle. Are you going to join the club on that?
No, I'm going to go the other way. I just think, I know West Brom are going to go down. I think even they probably realise that themselves, because it doesn't need snookers really to get out of trouble. But there has been a positive reaction to Darren Moore, and I was more impressed with the Liverpool performance than the Man United one. I think Man United were so lackadaisical in that game, but Liverpool, you know, to come back from 2-0 down there, and you know, and some of the players offensively are getting a bit of confidence now. Rodriguez, Rondon, you know, I look at the two forward lines, and I think, well, West Brom's, if anything, looks a bit more potent. So, you know, they're playing with a bit of nothing to lose, really, and just looking for a positive finish to the season. And I think they can avoid defeat here. I'll go for West Brom in the draw, double chance at evens.
Yeah, I'll be going along that. People are going to be thinking that I was sat next to Dan earlier this morning and was just copying his notes. But, yeah, I agree. I think they've got nothing to lose, and I'd rather be leaning on them, perhaps on the double chance at around even money, 11 to 10. I think that could be the way to go. So, finally, we talk about another relegation threatened team, well, in desperate trouble. Big South Coast derby, Southampton against Bournemouth. What are your prices there, Malachy?
So Southampton are shorting off here at 4-6. The draw is 11-4, and Bournemouth are 7-2 to win.
4-6, a Mark Hughes Southampton team. How do you feel about that?
I couldn't touch it. I wouldn't back it with someone else's money, to be honest.
I wouldn't give you any.
I think if they were playing another team in a similar position to Bournemouth, similarly rated, someone like maybe Watford or Brighton, then the price would be more fair for them. But the fact that there is the derby element, Bournemouth aren't going to lie down here, and I'd say they'll relish the opportunity to try and put Southampton down. I'd have to back Bournemouth double chance as opposed to Southampton, so the Bournemouth plus one at 11-10 for me.
Mark, you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is difficult to back Southampton. It wouldn't surprise me if they won, but I want to back them at 4-6 to do so? Not really. When they've had chances, you know, that Leicester game was an opportunity for them to win, and they couldn't, and they didn't actually have that many shots, and you know, and then they've lost a cup semi-final. So, in saying that, I think Bournemouth are a poor team. I think they're flattered by their league position. I think they've been pretty awful for much of the season.
We've
actually.
They conceded loads of goals last year, and you know, we've seen a similar sort of story.
I thought they were a little bit unlucky last season when they weren't getting results. Now they're getting results, and I think they've been a bit lucky on expected goals. They're right down the bottom of the Premier League. So rather than back Southampton, I think this is a game where Charlie Austin starts for them, and if Southampton are to score and to win, I mean, Charlie Austin looks like he's the only one really that's going to do the damage. I'm going to go for Charlie Boy to open the scoring.
Dan, I know you're sweet on the cherries.
I am. I think the prices are wrong here. I think the derby factor, as has been mentioned, is big. You look at the games over the last couple of seasons between them, there's a growing rivalry there between the clubs, and I think Bournemouth will relish the chance to put another nail into Southampton's coffin, if you like. And actually, their form, they've been losing games against the bigger teams, but since Christmas, one loss in 11 against teams outside the big six.
And nicked a lot of late points in those.
They have been getting them, and that is, you know, when you look at Southampton's price at odds on to beat a team that will probably be well motivated. I mean, Southampton, no winning 8 Premier League games, 3 points in that time. You know, that price, I can't have them. I'd take Bournemouth at 7-2. You know, it looks a big enough price to me.
Just on the Charlie Austin factor, if you have a look, Bournemouth, I just mentioned it there, Bournemouth have been starting games really slowly and actually growing into them. So that was another reason why I fancied maybe Southampton. You could even chance a few quid on Southampton half-time, Bournemouth full-time, because if Bournemouth get back level, Southampton are going to have to pile forward and try to win the game. And we saw what happened against Chelsea when they just mentally collapsed.
Could be some good sort of in-play opportunities there.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I'm with Chelsea again. 7-2 Bournemouth against a team that looked like they're going to get relegated. What's not to like? That's the Premier League action. So we'll just go through the boys with what their best bet is for the weekend.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, Malachy, you're our guest. It's your honour again. You can go first.
So I'm going to skip past the Premier League with all the dead rubber teams and move over to Italy for Napoli's clash away to Fiorentina. Napoli got the injury time winner against Juventus.
What a massive result that was. They're right back into the Serie A race with that one, aren't they?
It's right back to being dead level now. I think their expected points tally is dead level to finish on for the end of the season. Now, Napoli do trail on goal difference. I don't think that will factor in massively because they're so far behind. But I do think with the Fiorentina-Juventus kind of rivalry there, there'll be no love lost. They'll be happy to see Juventus get beaten to the title. So I've gone for Napoli -1 at 8-5. They're very similar style to Liverpool in the way they attack. They don't really go 1-0 up and try and sit back and defend it. I think they'll keep attacking. I think they'll try to play the way they always play. If they do sit back, they are prone to kind of panicking a little bit and would end up losing a lead that they could have extended. So I think they're going to keep their cool and beat Fiorentina comfortably at the weekend.
Okay. That's on the handicap, right? Not the Asian handicaps. They need to win by 2.
So they need to win by 2 goals, so you need to win by 2 goals if you're following Malachy's advice on that one. Mark, are you going continental or are you staying at home?
No, Championship. I know me and Dan have got the same one here. But it's Middlesbrough to beat Millwall. I mean, Millwall need to win, but I don't think that necessarily suits their style of play necessarily. I mean, they're better at home anyway. They're going to have to chase the game against a Middlesbrough team that's won 6 of their last 7 at the Riverside. The exception to that was against Wolves, which is understandable, given Wolves are the best team in the Championship, or at least sort of right up there with Fulham, probably are still the best team. And they also won at Derby last week. And I think that Tony Pulis will want to secure the playoff spot, and if they want to then rest, they can do it next week. And like I said, I think the fact Millwall need to win actually plays into Middlesbrough's hands.
Dan, you say you like Middlesbrough as well, but I mean, Millwall, you know, the heart was taken out by that big defeat at home to Fulham.
They actually played quite well in the first half, or you know, missed a few chances, but the second half they looked demoralised, I thought, as the game went on. And I mean, they're still, for them to be with 2 games to go in with a chance from getting promoted last year, and the run they've been on is fantastic achievements. I'm sure they'll give it everything, but as Mark's mentioned, I don't think it suits them to be pushing for a win in this game. Middlesbrough got quite a bit of pace up front as well. Sombalonga, who scored in the last last game. He's a bit of a confident striker, and he's got, you know, he's got plenty of pace. Adama Traore, obviously, as well, who's been transformed under Tony Pulis as well, will be a huge threat as well. So I'm sweet on Middlesbrough early in the season. Another point that they've struggled against the teams around them. They had a long time when they weren't beating them, and they've cracked that now. Beat Bristol City 2-1 and Derby 2-1 the last two games. So they've worked out to beat the teams around them, and I think they'll do it again here.
Okay, so there's two thumbs up for Middlesbrough. I'll be going to League One. Scunthorpe, I saw them play at Charlton a couple of weeks ago, and they look very strong. I still think they're in the shake-up to claim a playoff place. They travel to Milton Keynes, who are virtually down and haven't shown much sign of life for weeks. So I'll be taking the Iron at evens. Next is competition time. Every week we give you the chance to win either a £25 or a €25 free bet from Paddy Power. And last week's winner was Luke from Tipperary. This week we're being even more generous because you can get your hands on one of these. I'm holding up a copy of the Racing Post World Cup Guide. 7 weeks to go. Never too early to start your World Cup homework. Mark, you've been extensively involved in this project. Can you tell us what feasts we can have in this 256-page treasure trove?
Yeah, well, first of all, it smells really nice.
Oh,
it's worth the $9.99 just for the smell.
Don't drive after smell. Don't do it, kids.
We've got Dan Charles has done the outright preview for it. I've done the top goal scorer sort of betting, the eight group sort of best bets for those. Also, I've done 32. Team by team guide.
Are you fed up with the World Cup yet?
No, I was a couple of weeks ago, but now I'm absolutely flying again. Now I'm really excited. We're under the sub 50 days, aren't we now?
So, yeah, on charge as well. I can't wait.
Yeah, so we've got 32 team profiles, so I think that's a good opportunity to get the studying going. Loads of stats in there as well. Our stats team have worked wonders putting all that together, you know, all stuff like on the referees' cards and
it's all there,
and
isn't it? There's loads of stuff.
Yeah, it's even if I do say so myself, I think it's a
cracking place to start off. You know, you'd have done so much better in your GCSEs if you'd have started 7 weeks before your exams. So now's the time to crack on with that. So to be in the chance of winning a copy of this marvellous book and a £25 or €25 free bet with Paddy Power, answer this question: who scored the first two goals in Liverpool's 5-2 win over Roma this week?
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, welcome back to the Racing Post Football Postcast. My name's Ian Wilkerson. I'm joined this week by my Racing Post colleagues, Mark Langdon and Dan Charles, and Malachy Rooney from our sponsors, Paddy Power. So we've got three more games to crack on through. Two live ones on Sunday and one on Monday. So we'll start on the first Sunday offering, which is Champions Manchester City at West Ham. What prices have you got for us, Malachy?
So West Ham are 9-1 to get the victory. The draw is 9-2 and Man City are 1-4.
How do you see this one going?
It's hard to see past the City win in most of the games they play in, to be honest with you. I don't particularly see West Ham being too difficult of a game for them. There could be concerns that, look, they've won the league. Are they going to let up? Are they going to rest? But I think they're enjoying their football a lot. Mm. I think they'll go out and they'll be happy enough to try and put on a bit of a show as they normally do. And not to disrespect West Ham, but, you know, it could turn into a bit of a training thing for them. You know, they'll not be massively upset if they don't win well, but I think they will try to score goals, and I'm going to go with Gabriel Jesus to open the scoring at 10-3.
Yeah, Jesus. Mark, are they going to wind down now, City?
Don't think so. They've got some targets still to go for, including sort of Premier League points tallies, goals, and all that. And there's nothing else for them to do. If they were going to sort of ease up after being champions, I would have thought it would have come last week against Swansea, and there was no sign of that at all when they won 5-0. Interesting for your anytime goal scorer backers. I saw the goalkeeper Edison saying he fancied the pen, so might be one for your.
It'll kick off at West Ham if a goalie goes up and takes a penalty.
You ask Paddy's and request the bets and all that. It'd be interesting to see how many people are asking for Edison any time in that one. But I think Man City will cruise to victory here against West Ham. I mean, they've been ahead in 10 of their 13 Premier League games in 2018. Man City on the double result, half-time, full-time.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm pro Man City here. I mean, they'll probably play with a bit of freedom, and that's where I'm sort of like looking to get the angle, because playing with freedom, it can mean you're a little bit loose defensively at times. So I think they might win, but I think they will win, but I think they might concede a goal as well. West Ham.
I know where we're going here. Go on, carry on.
Yeah, West Ham have they got a few of their better players back recently. Carroll and Lanzini have come back from injury. Arnautovic looking a threat as well, playing really well. The 4-1 at Arsenal, I thought they were quite an even match for Arsenal for most of that game. 1-1 with less than 10 minutes to go, ended up losing 3-1 with a bad mistake by Declan Rice. But no, I think they might nick a goal here. So Man City and both teams to score 13-8.
Yeah, I agree. West Ham scored in 13 of their last 16 home matches. City, I can't see City easing up, but yeah, 13-8, both teams to score and City to win. Quickly, Manchester United, Arsenal. Malachi, what prices we got on that?
So Manchester United are into 2-5 now. The draw is 7-2, and Arsenal are a big 13-2.
Would you like to be back in Manchester United at a 2-5?
No, there were 4-7 about them earlier on in the week, which I thought represented a small bit of value considering the games between Arsenal's two Europa League fixtures. So I do think Arsenal have a grueling contest in both matches against Atletico. And in the league, it's a bit of an indifferent game to them. I mean, they're going all out for the Europa League in order to get that Champions League spot. I wouldn't be overly keen about backing Manchester United 2-5. It looks like a bit of a no-bet game for me at the prices, to be honest. There still is that kind of old rivalry, Ferguson Wenger lingering about Arsenal United game. So I don't think Arsenal will lie down, not any more so than they normally do in a match. But I just couldn't have a bet on United at the prices, but I also do fancy them to win the game.
Mark, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I mean, you've got to wait and see what the team sort of lineups are, I suppose. But I mean, I think it could be like a League Cup Arsenal team. I mean, it should be. I don't understand why you would play anybody really of any significance outside of those that are cup tied. Aubameyang, probably the most primary one, and they said that Ospina's going to play in the Europa League, so I'm assuming Czech will play in goal. But I mean, outside of that, I mean, I was looking at United and both teams to score, just in the hope that if Arsenal had any kind of sort of quality in their kind of backup players, it is in the forward areas. They've scored in 26 of their last 29 Premier League games, and Tottenham are the only big six side not to score at Old Trafford. And when they went to Old Trafford, they were missing Harry Kane through injury. But I agree with Malachi, this is a game really where it doesn't feel like Manchester United versus Arsenal, really.
Dan?
Yeah, every team's got their price, haven't they? And I don't know, I look at Arsenal, I mean, if they were to make 10, 11 changes, then you can't really fancy them. But generally, before these Europa League games or in the middle of them, he's been making sort of a handful of changes, 5 or 6 changes. I think if that's the case, and you've got Aubameyang's going to start, 6 goals in 9 games so far, you know, they're enough of a threat to have a chance. And there is a bit of a rivalry, you know, Wenger Mourinho down the years as well. Is he going to want his team to completely get smashed and lie down? You know, last game against Mourinho, I'm not so sure. So I'll just play the value here and go Arsenal will draw a double chance at 9-5. I don't think United are as good as their league points tally suggests. And Arsenal might not have to be anything special to nick a result.
So the only thing I would say on that, sorry Wilco, is that they haven't played a team like Atletico yet in the Champions League.
No,
so
true.
In the Europa League, sorry. So, it's a wait and see. Isn't
yeah,
it,
we're talking, you know, we're talking before they play their game on Thursday. So we'll have to wait and see on that. I'm not keen on either team, really, Arsenal or Manchester United. So I'll be giving this a swerve, really. After the break, we'll be doing the Monday night game, which is Tottenham against Watford.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, welcome back to the Racing Post Football Podcast. I'm Ian Wilkerson with Dan Charles, Mark Langdon, and Malachi Rooney from Paddy Power. One last game, Tottenham against Watford. Quick play for both clubs.
Alan Nielsen, Gomez, Espen Barton.
Yeah,
there's loads. Aren't
Jerry
there?
Armstrong, Mark Falco.
Yeah, there's loads of Watford Tottenham. There's not far.
Darren Caskey.
Dan Childs supports both
clubs. Yeah, Dan Childs supports both clubs. Yeah, so can we just have the prices on this game at Wembley then, Malachy?
Yeah, so Tottenham are 1-7 to win. The draw is 13-2, and Watford are 14-1.
Dan, we ought to let you go first.
Eunice Kabo, Etienne Capoue. just in the current team. But no, this is the Spurs need a result here, really. I mean, they've got a nice 5-point gap to Chelsea, but there's going to be a few alarm bells ringing. The fact that they've, you know, you've had the run of three games now without a win, losing that big game against Man City. Played quite poorly, really, in that game against Man United in the Cup semi-final. You know, went down quite meekly, I thought, after Man United went 2-1 up. And the Brighton game was a disappointing performance as well. A 1-1 was a fair result. So I do need to just, I mean, if Chelsea, as we're thinking, win at Swansea, the gap is 2 points. So it does put a bit of pressure on. Having said that, if you want a game to get back on the horse, if you like, and get 3 points, this is it. I mean, I watch Watford regular at home. They're still performing to a decent level at Vicarage Road. Away from home, their form is completely gone. I mean, the last 11 away games, won none, drawn one, lost 10 in the last 11 away games. So this is the game, really, for Spurs. I can see why they're so short to win it. But my bet, because it's such a short price, Dele Alli 6-1, scored the first goal. Backy's playing a lot better now, got the goal against Man United. That was his fourth in the last six games. 6-1 to me sounds a big price.
Busy Mark. Playing his computer games last night, wasn't he? He was streaming himself playing his computer games rather than
Watford are the kings of the sort of wind down wallies. They've been on the beach. They did it last year. They're doing it again.
Yeah, that they are. I do wonder whether the Wembley factor, because Newcastle and Leicester are other teams that have got nothing to play for. I do wonder whether playing at Wembley just slightly sort of pricks the ears a little bit of sort of any player. You know, if you were had nothing to play for at White Hart Lane, is it different to having nothing to play for at Wembley? Maybe the team will
sold out the allocation. They got, you know, the 3,000 fans.
I mean, I think it is slightly different playing at Wembley, a dead rubber for even for a team like Watford. They've got nothing to play for. Javier Garcia, the manager at Malaga, earned a reputation for being able to frustrate sort of the better teams in La Liga. And so I think the Tottenham mood is low, not only among the players, I think among the fans as well, not expecting a great atmosphere. I think any feel-good factor from Wembley that had been built up over the season just sort of disappeared in that last half an hour against Manchester United in the semi-final. I was looking at Watford plus 2.5 goals. Now, it's 7-10, so it's an odds-on bet, but I think Tottenham would take a one-goal victory here.
Yeah.
And I think Watford almost would as well. They don't sort of strike me as the kind of team that would desperately go hunting down a draw or whatever. So,
not a comprehensive Spurs win.
Just a low margin Tottenham win.
What about you, Malachy? What do you like?
Yeah, I'm of a very similar opinion to the lads. I don't think that Spurs are going to run riot. I don't think they need to, and I don't think Watford will put up much of a fight. So I couldn't disagree with anything that was said there. I'd say Tottenham in a low scoring game.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I think that Harry Kane has not been himself since he's had that little injury, and that's offers a bit of value in the first goal scorer market.
Sorry, Walker, I did have a look at the first goal. Yeah. I wonder about if you fancy Kane. Yeah. I'd be looking at like the hat trick, because he's hunting down the golden boot, and it was in garbage time last season that he ran riot against Hull and Leicester. And you know, if he kind of has got this sort of real determination to win the golden boot, I was looking at sort of the 2+ and hat trick, because this is the time to get going. If you fancy that, I don't fancy Spurs to run riot.
Yeah, they've not been.
If you do, a Harry Kane hat trick was something I'd written down.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, you might be able to rediscover some of that form that you showed at the end of the last season, because it's been quite a couple of weeks for him. Dele Alli 6-1 or 15-8 any time. I think it's an even better bet, so I quite like that. Well, thanks ever so much for joining us this week. Thanks, Malachy, for an excellent debut, and thanks, Mark and Dan. Don't miss out on all the great podcasts that will be done by Racing and various other parties over the next week or two, and then we'll be back on Thursday. So thanks very much, and please remember to like us on iTunes. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.